You want to take out your Bibles and open up to 1 Timothy chapter 2 that was read a few moments ago. 1 Timothy chapter 2 that we live in, concerned about one another here, concerned about even that some of the laws of our land only breed wickedness, get concerned about our shepherds here, our teachers, our preachers. So often we get to these concerns and we wonder, what do we do? How do we turn? I want you to notice here as 1 Timothy chapter 2 opens up. As Paul is speaking to Timothy, he says, "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men." He goes through these things so quickly. To say entreaties, that's like a supplication. You're asking God to supply something that you need. Maybe it would be wisdom. Maybe it would be peace in the midst of calamity. He says prayers, petitions, to think whenever there are times when someone has a specific need and so many people ask for the same thing for them. Thanksgivings, a gratitude. He says, be made on behalf of all men. Verse 2. For kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. To pray for the king. Maybe we in our country to think of to pray for the president. He says, and all who are in authority. Think about even as things are today, our civil leaders. And here's the goal. He says, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life. To enjoy the calmness. Quietness. But he says to do it in a way that's godly and to have dignity. So often when people see political things, tranquil is not the word for it. Quiet is not the way people respond. Godly is not what comes out of it. And dignity is not there. Yet that is what our God has called us to do. Quiet and tranquil life, dignity, and godly. Then verse 3. He says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. He says, that's pleasing to God. In the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of the turmoil, to turn to God and lead a life that is tranquil and quiet, godly and with dignity. Good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior. Verse 4. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is God's desire. He wants all to come to salvation. He wants all to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's His desire through the things that happen in this life. Then He comes to this in verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He says there's one God and there's one mediator. A mediator is a go-between. Probably the time in our lives that makes the best example is if you've ever been to another nation or been with somebody who spoke a different language and you didn't speak their language, you wanted a translator. You want somebody who understands what you're trying to say and understands enough about the other to be able to put it in their language where they understand it. Here's Jesus. He's our mediator. He walked this earth as a man, God in the flesh, and He walks as our mediator now between us and God. Here's Jesus. He understands stress. He understands mourning. He understands family difficulties. He understands all those aspects. And He says, I want to be the one to stand for you before God. But you've got to come to me out of a covenant. You've got to come to me out of a faithful relationship to be united with my death, burial, and resurrection. And if you notice the way he puts it here in verse 6, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. He says he gave himself as a ransom to pay for us. Think in terms of like John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus says that in the third person. But if you change it around to say the same thing, Jesus said, God gave me for you. God so loved the world. God loved the world so much that He gave me for you. I was the ransom given to pay for you, to pay for our sin. So you come to here to verses 5 and 6. He came as the mediator between God and men. Jesus Christ, the man. He says, I know what it's like to be you. We don't know what it's like to be Him. To live a life of perfection. To live a life that was ever pleasing to His Father in every way. And now to come here, who gave Himself as a ransom for all. A God who desires all to be saved. And He says, and I gave myself for Him. To pay for us. As a mediator, I want us to take a little bit more of a look. And we're going to turn mostly to the book of Hebrews from here on out. And I want you to see Jesus there acting on our behalf. Look over at the book of Hebrews, a few books to your right. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, and look at verses 1 and 2. To sum up the first 7 chapters of Hebrews, he says, now the main point of what has been said is this. We have such a high priest, and talking about Jesus, who has taken His seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Here's our mediator. He says, here's Jesus who sits at the right hand of the throne of God of His majesty. He says, I sit right there as your mediator. If you've ever had a difficulty, maybe you've talked in, it's a difficulty with a company, maybe the way you've been billed, and you call them and you don't get any satisfaction, and you think, can I speak to your manager? And then you don't get anything better, and you go, can I speak to your boss? And maybe it still doesn't go well, maybe you go, can I just speak to the owner of the company? Here it is. We're the difficulty to say, we have a mediator who sits at the right hand of God. And He can deal with what our problem is. If you notice it here, here's Jesus, the high priest, who has taken His seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Then verse 2. A minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, not man. It talks about the true tabernacle. Maybe we think in terms of the earthly tabernacle or even in terms of the temple that was in Jerusalem for a while. He says, He's in the true tabernacle. Not the copy in the shadow, not the one that was on earth, but the true tabernacle in the heavens, which He pitched, which He built. And that's where He stands. Then look down in verse 6. But now Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as He is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. He didn't come to regenerate the old. He came with a new covenant. A covenant that's about forgiveness. A covenant that's about an inheritance with God. A covenant that brings us where we have a mediator as Jesus. And He says, I'll be your mediator before God. I sit at His right hand. I sit there for you. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse 11. Not only is Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, there to minister, to serve, He sits there on our behalf. Then, chapter 9, verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, He entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. It's not like what we've seen. It's not the same as what we know. This is why we need a mediator. We have never sat or stood in the true tabernacle that's in heaven. with God and His majesty on His throne. In the Old Testament, if you read through Exodus chapter 33, God tells Moses, "You cannot see my face and live." If we were to try and stand where Jesus is on our own, we would die. Because of our own sin, because of the problems that we've made for ourselves, now He comes along and says, "I can stand in my Father's presence. I can be there because there was no sin in Jesus. And I paid the debt for you and for me." He says, if we go marching in, we'll die on our own. We don't have a right to be there. But He stands as the mediator. In the place that's made without human hands. Then look at verse 12. "And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through His own blood, He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." It's not like the old sacrificial system with bring more animals and slaughter them and offer them up. That didn't even allow those of Israel to enter into God's presence, except for the high priest once a year. He says He didn't offer the blood of bulls and calves and goats. He says He brought His own blood, His own life, to come before the Father. He says, "I brought my own blood." And then notice at the end of verse 12, "He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." He says, "Because of my blood, I can buy you back forever. I can be your mediator. I can stand before God on your behalf because of the blood that I've offered. But you've got to come into a covenant relationship with me and my Father." Notice verse 13. "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh." Now there's a lot going on in verse 13. But let's make it simple. Under the old covenant, you could offer up animals and it could take care of the outside. It could cleanse the flesh and the outside. They had offerings for those things. But it didn't deal with taking away the sin. Notice verse 14. If the old could take care of the outside, look at what the new covenant will do for the inside. "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" He says the blood of Christ is going to take care of the conscience. It's going to take care of the sin problem on the inside. And now we can be cleansed not to go back and serve the dead, but now to serve the living God. Because sin has been dealt with. Here's our conscience being made clean. Here's the difference. Under the old covenant, that conscience still wore you out. It reminded you every time you failed. And now to be given a conscience that whenever we fail, we turn to Jesus. He's paid for our sin. He's our mediator to go before His Father and ours. Verse 15. "For this reason, He is the mediator of a new covenant." He comes to mediate between. We come to God. We failed in the past. And He says, "I came to mediate because my blood can pay for your sin. To offer eternal redemption." Then, "For this reason, He is the mediator of a new covenant." He doesn't mediate the old. He mediates the new. "So that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." He says, "I came so that you can have an inheritance. An inheritance with God. An inheritance to be forgiven. An inheritance for a good conscience. To take us, having been cleansed, and to say, 'I'm going to bring you before my Father. And now when you have difficulties and you have hardships, you can come through Jesus to the Father who cares for us, and His desire is for all to come to forgiveness and salvation. An eternal inheritance, not just for a short term, for all of eternity, because we've been bought back with an eternal redemption. Then, notice verse 16. For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. In order for Jesus to be our mediator, He had to die. He had to give Himself completely over to the Father's will. And in doing so, now He stands as our mediator. He says, as a man, Jesus walked this earth. And He knows the sorrows and the difficulties that we encounter. He says, I want to take you to my Father. He says, I've died to be a mediator of this new covenant. But then notice the next verse. Verse 17. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead. Notice it says men, plural. For it is never in force while the one who made it lives. Are we going to come to Jesus to be our mediator before God? To come before Him and to say, I want to die with you. I want to give over completely to no longer go after sin, but now to go after what's righteous. To have this responsibility of a tranquil and quiet life with all godliness and dignity. In the midst of sorrow, in the midst of troubles, to say, I want to be pleasing to you. I want to be pleasing to God. And I want to die to my old self. And I want you to pay for my sin. And I want you to be my mediator. I want to have a righteous voice before God. He says here, for a covenant is valid only when men are dead. Whenever we met up with Jesus, to die to our sins and to be buried beneath the water and to be raised back up, He says, now I'll mediate for you. He doesn't mediate for just everybody. Although the opportunity is there for everybody, He says, I mediate for those who have died to sin. To take you right before God so that you can be in His presence. Because on our own, we would just die if we saw Him face to face. But as Revelation 22:4 puts it, now to serve Him, we can come before God face to face and live because of what Jesus offered. Now we've been made whole before God because He paid for our sin. Now to have an inheritance that's eternal, to have a redemption that's eternal as we stand faithful in Jesus. Look a little bit further in Hebrews. Look over at chapter 12. Look at where this takes us to. There's a comparison here made to the old covenant, to Mount Sinai. And it talks about in verse 21 that even Moses trembled with fear before that mount. So what about us now to stand with God? Where does it leave us in Jesus in this new covenant? Verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. He says, I'm here to mediate for you. And I'm here to bring you before God Himself. He says here, to Mount Zion. He says, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. The name Jerusalem literally means Jeru is city, Shalom is peace. Jerusalem is the city of peace. He says, I've come to bring you to the heavenly city of peace. How does that sound for tranquil and quiet? Expecting out of us godliness and dignity. even whenever things are going crazy among us. He says, and to myriads of angels, myriads is the word for countlesses, surrounded by angels, verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, Jesus being the firstborn of all creation, he says, who are enrolled in heaven. Enrolled. Whenever your kids started school, what did you have to do? You have to enroll them? He says, with Jesus as your mediator, you've been enrolled in heaven. The question is, are we going to have a life that's full of godliness and dignity? To have a life that's tranquil and quiet, to be pleasing before God in every way? He says, you've been enrolled there. Are you going to keep your part of the covenant? Are you going to be dead to doing it your way and doing it God's way? He says, I offer eternal redemption. I offer an eternal inheritance. He says, I'm here to mediate for you and to pay for your sin. Then he says, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. You've ever wondered, what happens to the righteous when they die? They go to be with God. He says, look here. He says, here's the spirits of the righteous who are made perfect. They were made perfect by the Lord, by Jesus. Verse 23. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. He stands there to mediate for us who have died to ourselves and have come to the living God, to the new heavenly city of peace. That's the promise of the new covenant. It's said back in chapter 8 about better covenant, better promises. These are the better promises. Then to notice, you've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood. The blood that was sprinkled on our heart when we were baptized into Christ. That took away our sin. Where now Jesus mediates for us before God. Jesus, the man who knew the things and the terrible difficulties that we encounter on this earth. He says, I know what you're going through. And I've come because you have died to yourself to be living to God. He says, now I mediate for you before Him. To stand before God. Before the majesty of the throne of God. For you. As part of this new covenant. That's found in Jesus. And He even goes on to say, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Abel being the first one to die for living a life that was righteous. His own brother killed him, being wicked. He says, this speaks louder than that. I want you to look at one more passage. Look over at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 31. Jesus is here to intercede for us, to mediate for us. What does that mean about this relationship that we now have with Him? That we died with Jesus, raised up with Him. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? If God declares us clean by the blood of Jesus, who's going to overturn His ruling? Who's going to change that? Verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? If He wouldn't spare His perfect Son so that we could be bought back and paid for, then what will He not give? What else would He hold back? Nothing. Verse 33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Who's going to stand in opposition? Who's going to bring a charge? God is the one who justifies. God's the one who declares us innocent by the blood of Jesus. Who is the one who condemns? No one if God doesn't. He's the judge of all. That's what Hebrews chapter 12 said. Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. And here's Jesus who sits at the right hand of God to intercede for us through all of our difficulties, through all of our good days, and we show gratitude. In the difficulties that come, we offer our prayers before God, even to petition God on behalf of a brother or a sister in Christ. And here's Jesus to stand before God for you and me so that we can stand before God sin forgiven. So that we can stand before God with an inheritance that is eternal. To be redeemed forever if we will honor Him all of our days. That's where Jesus takes us. To the very throne of God where we don't have a right to be on our own. But because of the life of Jesus, we can stand before God eternally. To come before God, unlike Moses, and to stand face to face, paid for in full, redeemed eternally, and to have an inheritance that'll never fade. That's what's offered in Jesus. Is that where we stand? Are we part of that new covenant? When our sins were washed away, we can now stand before God because we have a mediator, Jesus Christ, the man, who stands on our behalf.